Welcome everyone to the Wake Up and Win podcast. My name is Medin Gabrezgier. I'm with Jonathan Santos and Caesar Santos. And this is the Revive Wake Up and Win podcast. Hope you enjoy it. We crafted this together for your listening pleasure. We are talking about going all out. And when you commit to something, giving yourself totally to it and how it'll actually make everything better and make it all worth it. Because if you don't, you'll only be cheating yourself. So the name of this topic is Let Me See Your Bib. The name of this podcast is Let Me See Your Bib.
What does that mean?
So let me John see your here. Bib, right? Okay, so.
John here, one of the people on this podcast, and today we also have Caesar.
Caesar
in the house.
Welcome on.
For those of you guys listening for the very first time, this is Medin's introduction to podcasting. I always told him he'd make an amazing podcast, and now we're here. A little bit of background about us. We started up a brand together about 9 years ago, and through that, we learned so many different lessons from entrepreneurships, from failures to successes, to a lot of tragedies in personal life, and that's kind of what inspired us to put this podcast out, to really share those stories and, more importantly, the lessons that Medin crafts together very artistically and really hones through. So thank you, Medin.
Thank you. And it gets me out of the mom's house, you know what I mean? So the two birds, one stone. No, I'm just kidding. No, I do believe that this podcast will help a lot of people in different situations, and it may help you directly or indirectly, but hopefully it touches you and moves you to do something great. Okay. So, let me see your bib. What is that all about? So, we've been in business for 9 years, making and selling bags, and we've been entrepreneurs, and we've been pushing ourselves in our early 20s and all of that to be great people, to grow. We always had what we call mastermind meetings and learning how to create something great for generations, you know? So, that's what we're all about, and we've kind of bought into this 100%. Part of that has been pushing ourselves physically. And so we decided to go into all of us into a few half marathons. And John, I think you completed a full marathon.
Yeah, 26.2 miles.
Yeah, couldn't walk for eight weeks. but he did it.
Halfway through. I mean, I guess we could share it later, but if we have to jump into it, don't eat before you run.
Do not eat a lot.
You
know, it was funny. One of the marathons I saw, a person with a sign saying, you know, when you're on the ninth mile, they held up the sign so confidently, stone cold face, and it said, "If you think it's a fart, it's not. Don't trust it."
Yeah.
So that happens when you run a marathon. Yeah. Just be careful.
That's really what it is. After like the 15th mile, I was like, I can't fart.
You're done for. You are done for. Yeah. I think we got into the marathon world, into running and sprinting and all this stuff, because we know how much it translates to what exactly we do. We're entrepreneurs. We're building businesses. We're growing and developing as young men, as people, as Christians, everything you can think of. And learning to go the distance, learning to push yourself is critical to that. So it's something that we've really involved ourselves in. Now, the first one we ran together was in 2015. 2014 or 2015?
I think it was 2015.
2015, yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was incredibly enjoyable. But there's something you have to do. Every time you decide to go into a marathon, there's a lot of paperwork and rigmarole that you get put through before you can actually join the marathon. Now, one might think to themselves, I've never ran a marathon before. I can just go onto the street and run. That's not quite how it works. These things are very
organized.
John says organized. I say complicated. Same difference. No, but you have to sign up well ahead of time. You have to pay your dues. You have to get your proper attire. You have to make sure you train very, very hard and very well. And you prepare yourself for what's to come. You don't just run a marathon. It's a lot of preparation that's involved. And so, running that first marathon, I think there was about 6 months of training for myself. I think respectively, you guys probably have done a year or so of training, but you were Explorer Academy, and Caesar, you've always been in great shape, but there was a lot of preparation that went into it, right?
Oh, definitely. It was, The first half marathon, I mean, I never liked running. So even when I was in the academy, I hated running. So my wife was the one, my wife Amanda's the one that pushed me to actually start running. And I hated it. So I think before the marathon, we probably ran about 8 miles, maybe nine before that half marathon. And yeah, and then so the last 3 miles were very tough, but we finished and that was pretty cool.
That's amazing. Caesar, you were running as well that year. What inspired you to join?
Yeah, what inspired me to join was I've always wanted to run a half or even a full. We ended up running a half that season. Having gotten to running a full year, but that's definitely on my list.
Awesome. No, I know that it was going to be this incredible feat, and it's something I've never done before because myself personally, I've always been out of shape. I've always been oversized, overweight since I was 12, 11. And so it was a subject for me that was really tough. I have a older brother-in-law who actually trained Meb Kavlisky. And if you don't know who that is, he actually won the Boston Marathon in 2016, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. Very, very highly trained professional runner. And so Kribram, for lack of a better term, is a hard ass. He doesn't take any excuses. He doesn't want to, you know, play around with you. He's like, you know, you got to – he doesn't go into long, detailed explanations about health and about fitness and about why you should have nutrition up. He just says control food. And then he just says run. And so that's pretty much all he does, but he's been a very big benefit in my life too. So he pushed me to do it. So I say all that to say that starting it was a very challenging process, but I needed to do it because I wanted to challenge myself. I was going through a hard time in my life at that point. I was broke. I was kind of lost and confused as far as where we were as a company. I really didn't know what the direction was of my life. So I said, I'm just going to start running and figure it out. So I started running around the block. I started going 2 mile distances, 3 mile distances, panting, passing out. And then I pushed and pushed and pushed. And I got to myself to a point where I had gotten a decent shape. And then I felt like I could do it. So I signed up. But I didn't sign up the way that you probably should sign up. I was a very big believer, in some ways still am, in if it's for free, it's for me. And I was very cheap. I've grown out of that somewhat, but I don't think I have fully. And you guys could probably attest to that. But I didn't pay for the official registration to get into. I don't know if I'm incriminating myself right now.
It's already been over a year, so yeah. Fine.
Okay, so it's good. The statute of limitations. Yeah, statute of limitations.
I would say we didn't know we had to pay.
Yeah, there you go.
Until we showed up.
I claim ignorance, people. I claim ignorance. So I didn't pay for it. I showed up. And didn't pay for it. But I got crafty with it and decided, you know what? I'm just going to make my own bib. And I didn't know what a bib was. And I thought it was a goofy name for a thing. So I said, you know, I'm going to create my own. So I just wrote random numbers down. And I'm not going to implicate anybody else in this process. But I had it made. Let's just put it that way. So I just created one. Okay? All right? You're going to come after me? Come on, feds. Come get me. All right? $70. I didn't pay it. I make sure to pay my community service and pay back the amount, and I'll go twice fold this year and make sure to pay everything back, all right? So that way we're all good there, okay? But I didn't do it. For the sake of the story, I got to tell you that truth or else it won't make sense to you, okay? So I didn't. But anyway, I decided I wanted to go. I still wanted to do it. I had this rebellious attitude, too, that I'm not going to spend money to run. You're not going to get me.
Who spends money to run?
Yeah. Well, what kind of – this is stupid. Like, I'm going to go out here and push myself, but you won't have me like these lame-os out here paying money and being a sucker to run in your stupid thing. I'm going to beat your thing and show all my friends I did it. So – but I didn't pay for that. I didn't go all the way into it. What I didn't know is that – you get a lot when you pay the registration. You get the bib and all that, but it means more. It's something that you are a part of it. You really invested yourself in it, and then you have memories to share with others. So that's what they were going for, but I didn't buy into that. I just wanted to do my thing. So I didn't pay for it. I showed up, had my fake bib on, and I walked through the crowd saying, all right, I'm going to go onto this site. Nobody's going to say anything to me because I had learned one of my younger years, one of my cousins, I'm not going to implicate him either. But he tells me all the time, hey, you know what? Just walk in like you own the place and everything will be fine. So I took his advice. And I walked in like I own the place. One of the security guards saw me and said, excuse me, can I see your bib? Let me see your bib. And I looked at him. He looked at me. I showed him the bib that I had created.
With crayon? It was like a crayon bib. I remember that.
It was horrible. And it was on computer paper. And it wasn't even covered up. It's supposed to have like this plastic covering with the lights on it and the rock and roll marathon.
He drew the rock and roll marathon.
I drew it on there. And me and him looked at each other, and we had a moment man to man, and we just sort of looked at each other. And he knew what was going on. He looked at me, and he goes, with this incredulous look, like, are you serious? But there was this wave of people that was coming behind me, and he had a lot of work to do. So he kind of gave me this look of pity, like, fine, go ahead. And I was like, feeling defiant. I walked past him like, yeah, I'm going to run this race. Ain't nobody going to say nothing to me. So the race started. And I ran. The first few miles, I was feeling good, and then everything started to catch up with me. My training worked. I got through to about mile 9, because anybody who doesn't know, a half marathon is
13.1
miles. And so I got to about mile 9, so I'm feeling great. Music's in my ears. I'm pushing through. I get to mile 9, and I conk out. When you conk out as a runner, it's where your body physically stops. It doesn't matter what you do. It's just you've reached your limit. I conked out, and there's this woman standing on the corner with Taco Bell. And God bless her. I swear she looked so sincere, and I just felt this vibe from her like she wanted to help the runners. So she had this three or four boxes, the 12-pack of beef tacos from Taco Bell, and she was handing them out. And I was like, I can't trust this lady. I don't know what she's doing. But I walked up to her, and I grabbed 2 tacos. And
you can't trust her, but I'm hungry.
I ate them so fast. And then I decided I was going to keep running, which was dumb. So now I'm running with bubble guts. And so this is the real. Hey, listen, folks. All right, if you didn't want to get on the podcast and hear the real deal, then I'm sorry. You know, go somewhere else and go to another podcast. I'm just kidding. I love you guys. No, but finally, I pushed through. And I got all the way to the end. Some of it I was walking. Some of it I had pushed through. But when I got to the end, it was the most euphoric feeling in the world. Everybody there.
Mm-hmm. The lights, the fire. Yeah, real cool. Real cool ending. Like, they really have a grand finale for you.
Yeah.
Everybody's cheering you on. And it's just like, yeah, go. Yeah, it feels like everybody's your friend.
Which is really random cool. Strangers, too. Uh-huh. Right? Talk a little bit about, like, the setting. Because they had some, rock concerts going on beside the race.
So as you're running, like as you start, you have all these bands just up on stage, just hitting like, you know, Eye of the Tiger. You know? So like you feel that like down the whole Las Vegas Strip because everybody's playing their version of Eye of the Tiger and you're just pumped. So you're just like so hyped when it starts. And then it feels like as you're at mile 7 or 8, you're almost alone with the Taco Bell lady. You're like reaching out for anybody to try to help you. Because the music stops right about like mile 5. You know, like you don't have anything else, no support other than the Taco Bell lady.
Yeah.
And it's not till you get back to the end that you get that hype feeling again. That energy again, because that's where the music bands start again. The crowds are there going wild. And
you know, that's an interesting thing that you brought up, because of the fact that when you go downtown, this is back in 2015. I'm sure they updated it now, but back then when you go to this area downtown Las Vegas, it gets to a point where there's no one there. And mm-hmm. you have just these mobile high lights that mm-hmm. they put up and then porta potties. And you're going downtown where there's a lot of transient folk. Mm-hmm. It's just regular people anymore. You just see the banner and the cones that say Rock and Roll Marathon. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's you mm-hmm. and the race.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So you really got to lean in at that point. Mm-hmm. And I was glad we were able to push through that. But that's another point is that I made sure, because I looked and there was times during the race where I saw these cones. And I said, all I have to do is walk right across those cones and then go that way. And I could totally pretend like I won this mm-hmm. race. And then nobody would know the difference. Nobody care would find out, uh-huh. you know. But for some reason, I told myself, no, I got to go all the way. I got to really do this. So at that point, I'm totally bought in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let me finish. So when I pulled through and got to the end, everyone was high-fiving each other. Everyone was hugging. It didn't matter who you were, where you came from, what you looked like. Everybody was totally euphoric is the best word for it.
Just it really elated, was.
Happy, mm-hmm. right? Energy yep. was crazy. And also, there was something to point out was the second time we had done this, we actually, it was just after the October 1 shooting.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So it was incredibly powerful, even more because the city was so united after this half marathon. So I completed it. We got to the end. We had this great euphoric time, fun, loving, all of that. And I'm doing my victory lap, and I get my medal, and I'm getting ready to show it off on social media and everything like that. And this guy comes up who works for the marathon. And he takes up. He's like, can I get a photo of you? I'm like, yeah, sure, man. Come on. So I'm feeling like Usain Bolt at this point. So I got the confidence of it. I'm like, come on. So my legs are dead, but I'll do it. So I go over, and then I put my hands in the air, and I just – so yeah, you know, won the marathon, just throwing my hands up and doing the gesticulations of a winner, you know, like yeah. The moment I did it, the fireworks from the finish line of the half marathon blew up. So he had this epic photo of me, and it was my hands in the air after finally completing the entire half marathon and doing it in my mind and in my heart. I knew I went all the way. And he had this great photo, and he stops, he takes the photo, snaps it, looks at me, and goes, dude, this photo is amazing. And I was like, well, you probably say that all the time. He's like, no, this is incredible. You need to look at this. I look at it, and it looked like something out of a movie. I had my hands in the air, fist pumping, and then the fireworks were going off, and I'm screaming. I couldn't believe that he got that shot, and it was completely by happenstance, right? So I'm like, oh, that's so great. Can you please send it to me? He says, let me see your bib. And I'm like, sure, sure, yeah. Mind you, I don't remember that I have a bib that is illegitimate. So I turn around like, yeah, that's fine. Here, take the photo. Can you just send it to me? He goes, I'll send it to you through your bib number, through your registration. What? You can't just, can I just snap a photo of it? He's like, sorry, this is proprietary copyright stuff. I can't allow you to take it. I was like, come on, please. He's like, just, I'll send it to you through your bib. So just let me see your bib. So I turn around and I'm like, I'm wasting my time because I'm not going to be able to get anything because this is a fake number. Susan in Toronto is going to get my photo. And I'm standing here like, oh, my gosh. And so, yeah, so he takes the photo. And then in my mind, I'm thinking, how am I going to tell this story? But nobody's going to see the photo. So after that, a cameraman shows up. This cameraman comes up to me with his
like a news cameraman, right?
Like a news camera. It was set up like a news camera, but it was for the marathon.
Right.
So he comes up as an interviewer with the microphone, and he has a guy behind him with the full-blown professional camera setup, headphones and the whole bit. So as he walks over to me, I'm like, oh, snap, I'm about to get an interview. He was like, can we interview you real quick? We just want to see, can you just tell us about how you feel? Tell us about the marathon. We're going to put this on the website. And I go, sure, yeah, turn the cameras on. And you guys know I'm a ham when the cameras turn on. So I go, yeah, wake up and win. You have to fight. Even if you don't want to get up, if you don't want to do it, you got to get down here. Just start running. Just start with one step. You can do it. Say this incredibly motivational speech. The guy stops. He looks at the cameraman behind him, and he looks back at me, and he twirls his finger in the air almost as if to say, keep rolling, keep rolling. And I'm like, oh, boy, they want more. So I gave him more energy. So now I'm lighting the thing up. I'm like walking around, pointing in the air. And then he's like, he just keeps doing that with his finger. So I'm just giving him whatever he wants. He cuts the camera. He goes, dude, that was an incredible interview, man. I was like, thank you. I was like, can I see it, please? He goes, sure, let me see your bib. Let me see your bib. And I said, wait a minute. Is there a way that it'll be online? Can I show my family? I want to tell them about this incredible moment that I just had. He goes, yeah, if you show me your bib, I'll send it to you through your bib number, and you get it through an email. But I can't give it to you any other way because, you know, it's proprietary. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, come on. I wanted to see that. I went through all of this, and I can't even get this moment to share with my future kids, with my wife, with my family, with friends, have it in my office. I missed out on that. So the point of what I'm saying is that I did all of this hard work, all of this training and everything like that, but I didn't fully commit. I didn't completely buy in. And all the work I had done, I had undermined by not doing that. So that's what I wanted to translate in this podcast to the listeners, that when you go hard at something, go all the way. Don't be afraid. Kind of go after it with abandonment. Because there's, I mean, we're all going to die anyway. You got to try to let yourself go. And I don't mean get fat. I mean, which I've done a few times, and that's okay. If you are, we love you. But what I mean is let your inhibitions go when it comes to pushing yourself forward and challenging yourself to do something great. Because that's what happens when you, because what happens when you do that is you become a new person. Your identity changes, your DNA changes, you actually grow. And when you grow, other people around you grow. Other people are impacted. So when you make that one choice to do it, when you decide in that moment that you're going to take a chance and you're going to push yourself, next thing you know, incredible things happen. But it's all about that moment of having that bit of bravery to go all the way. So all of this great marathon that I had, all this great fun that I had, and these high fives and the epic photo and the great interview, all were taken away from me, not by anybody else's hand, but by my own. So that can happen when any project, anything that you do, you decide that you're going to hold back to some extent. So, and sometimes, you'll weigh out the options. You'll find situations where you don't necessarily feel like you're completely bought in, or you don't get why you have to, or there's tons of reasons why you don't, but at least find, or tons of scenarios why you wouldn't, but at least find one thing that you completely fall in love with and you give yourself to and see how it changes you. So that's the whole point of the podcast.
Wow. So, I mean, what happens if they fail, though? If somebody goes all the way in and if they fail, like?
I don't think the story ends there. So there is pain that you're going to have to go through. There is some trauma and sadness that comes from that. But it only resonate and destroy everything else if you stop the story there. Your story ends once you die. While you're alive, while you have a chance, while you have breath in you, once you go through tragedy, failure, and loss, that's setting you up for something else. Now, it may take a long time. It may come in a different way. You may not see it's coming. But understand that it's a part of the process. So trying and failing is okay. And that makes you a winner of itself. That makes you wake up and win in of itself. So take the time to do that. So, but once you know that you completely bought in and you gave it your best, you can sort of have this peace inside of you knowing that you did try your best and you did give it your all. Then once you move on to the next idea, the next venture, the next business, the next relationship, you can go into it with confidence knowing that you're going to approach it the same way.
You gave it your all.
Yep.
All right.
That's all that matters.
And so then, at what point should somebody call it quits, though? I mean, there's only so much times that you could continue failing and pushing forward. Like, what point should somebody call it quits?
There comes a time when you'll know that what you're doing with what you're going after isn't working, and that's okay. You know, and you probably will call it quits multiple times. You kind of just got to recalibrate, refocus, come up with a new direction, but keep that same energy and keep the same vision. You know, sometimes the goalposts move. Sometimes you lack energy. Sometimes you're on top of the world. Sometimes you're heads on the floor. But no matter what's going on, you always have to know, okay, take an L, because that's how you can learn how to take a W. So you keep taking them. After a while, you get tougher and tougher and better and better. Some people I know that are very, very prosperous, if you want to put it, or very great winners, don't know how to lose, and it could destroy them forever. You know, no disrespect or irony in that, but it is the fact of the matter. So once you know how to take that loss and know how to, that if you do quit, you decide to get back up and try again in some form or fashion, something else, then you're still a winner. So it's not, you can't put it in a box, but as long as you have that will to move forward with your life and do the best you can, you've already won the game.
That makes sense. Yeah. And this comes up to mind. I mean, I had no idea we were talking about a marathon today, but as we were having this story and as we're talking about, you know, the journey and the progress, I want to bring Caesar into it. And Caesar was like we took on running, right? So like we all kind of took on running and preparing for this marathon and pretend like preparing for training. And Caesar just like went ham even after the training. Like he ran every single day, like 5 a.m. in the mornings in the middle of the desert, 9 p.m. at night in the middle of the desert. He'd go running.
3 o'clock in the afternoon in the Vegas heat.
Yep. 120 degree weather. He was running out there with us. And I'm like, Caesar, what are you doing? Like, what are you running from? You know, at this point, it feels like he might be running from something. And can you dive into like what was going through your mind in regards to, you know, like for some people, they run to kind of meditate. Other people might be running for something like Forrest Gump. All I can remember, like all I can picture with Caesar was Forrest Gump. Like if he could have ran the United States.
Run, Caesar, run.
He probably would have been running it. So tell us a little bit what was going through your mind and how running helped you get over a hurdle or a struggle that you were going through.
Yeah, you know, like Madin was saying, running was a huge part of all of our growth. And for me, running started a little bit right after high school. It was something that I just enjoyed. I still enjoy to this moment. It's for myself, what Jonathan was talking about was the fact that I was really truly running away from something, but I didn't even notice it until John told me about it. And it really had to do a lot with you know, priorities that I had in my life or things that I valued that didn't really need to even have a value. And I tried to use running as a way to like distract myself without even realizing it. And as I continue to run and discover this issue, I realized that, you know, one, you should still run. I should still be running, but I'm not actually. But it's something that it helped me cope with all those issues that I had. And for example, like running at 12 o'clock in the middle of the night, I look back at that and I'm like, that's crazy. I would not even think about doing that nowadays because it's like, where I was running was pretty sketchy.
Yeah.
Wetlands area, coyotes, all the way over to UNLV Sanborn Stadium. That
people
was
shooting out there.
Yeah, there was all kinds of crazy stuff going on in the areas that I was running in. And it took me a while to even realize it, just exactly what was going on. And one of the main things that really woke me up and realized, like, why am I doing all this running was after getting injured multiple times and realizing, like, I need to slow down. Maybe I should run, you know, during the day, maybe not towards the middle of the day when it's, like, 105 degrees out, things like that. And there was this one very scary moment where I was running. It was probably like 3 o'clock in the morning on this Vegas summer, and I honestly felt like I was dying. So definitely do not run in the middle of the night. In the middle of the summer, the Vegas summer. It gets really hot out there, but it really made me realize, like, why am I doing this? Like, what is it that I'm doing? And why am I doing this for? Who am I doing this for? What am I doing this for? Am I doing this for a greater cause? Am I doing this just to prove something to myself, or what is it? And out of all that, it ended up coming out to be just, I was just doing it not for myself, not for anybody else, but just to try to distract myself, which wasn't good at all because I didn't have a purpose behind it.
You know, I think that's very powerful, Caesar. What now, if you could talk to that guy who was going through all the running and injuring and heat and danger, what would you tell him?
I'd tell him to slow down, stop, pause, and talk to somebody for sure. Definitely talk to somebody. Yeah.
Okay. I think it's incredible to hear because there's a Bible quote that is, or Bible verse that is, "Be still and know that I am God." So, but to crack that open and to kind of over for this entire podcast, it almost says, stop, just sit for a second and take in the awe and the amazement and the wonder that's all around you. You know, the mountain ranges, the beauty. I talked about this before, the beauty in the little flowers and the things like that, and sort of get yourself to come to a place where you are doing what would otherwise be known as positive things for positive reasons, as opposed to letting them be corrupted, you know, and turning it into something that's taking you off the course, because we've all been there, you know. And so I think that's powerful for people to hear because it changes their perception of what they're going through, because all we know is a bimodal kind of thinking. It's either I'm bad or good, or I'm right or wrong, or I did. Sometimes there's a place in between where you're trying to figure yourself out. You're trying to move in a different way, or maybe you don't fit in with the people that are around you, the family that you know, live with, or the friends that you keep. There's so many different situations that can make you feel scared of where you are and who you are in that moment. And to get through that, that Bible verse is really helpful for anybody, believer, non-believer, to just sit down and take a moment and be with that fear, to find a way to get past it. And then when you do it for a healthy reason, after you've completed that, it can just show through to all the people that are around you. And they know that you're not running to where you hurt yourself, or that you're in danger, or that, you know, anything like that. Or like in my case, where I'm just running away from my problems, and a bad thing can turn out to be really beautiful and really good.
I agree. Yeah. And I think this really ties into the whole let me see your bib story, because I think the rock and roll marathon really highlights this. When you get started, showing up at that starting line, you're like, all this month of preparation and mentally preparing for this marathon, I'm finally at this moment. You know, like you're surrounded by all these people that are also taking that moment and living in that moment, right? And as you take off running, you're being supported, you're being praised, because you're like, oh, wow, he got started. You know, like everybody on the sidelines is cheering you on. The rock band's going. You're motivated. You're pumped because you're finally doing it. But just like in life, when you get to that mile seven, that mile eight, and you're alone, and you're now you're like, wait, why am I doing this again? Like, you're hurting, right? So you're in that point of the marathon when nobody's pumping you on, cheering you up. And it's during those difficult times that you really have to, like exactly what you just said, like you have to really kind of come inward and look up to God and say, okay, give me the strength, give me that right place of motivation that I need to continue on this journey, right? Because I think a lot of people in that moment are the ones that end up not finishing or completing the marathon per that case, or fall into a despair, you know? And then once you pick up after that mile eight, and once you pick yourself up there, that's when you get to that end of that finish line,
right? Second wind.
And it's that next motivation. And once you complete it, now you're back to that, like, wow, now I'm done. Now what do I do?
Yeah.
Right? But it's all just a repetitive cycle. Like, now it's time for you to, you know, conquer that next mountain.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. And I think kind of to round out everything we're talking about, to your points, you can win now. I think Mike Tyson said it, and this is Mike Tyson's quote, that he knew if he was going to beat somebody or not just by the look in their eye when before the fight would start. So it all happened in his head before the actual fight began. So if he ever broke eye contact with you while you have that stare down before they make you bump fists, he knew if he was going to beat you or if he was going to have a tough fight. So I think that translates to this too. You got to have it in your mind that you're going to be able to win, that you're going to be able to have, that you have like a success, so that you're all right. Because I remember our mentor, Kevin, used to tell me, like, some kids are broke. Some people don't have money, and that's okay. Some people don't have, you know, what most would consider prosperity. That's all right too, but you can be a winner in that space. You know, if you own it and know how to just be grateful of what you got, then you already have a winning mentality. That's what this whole podcast of Wake Up and Win is about. It's getting into that place mentally and spiritually to say that you have everything that you need. And then that's when all of the outward success and happiness, what you want to call it, will come. But it doesn't just move the target a little bit. Look at the goals that you're setting for yourself and understand that once you evaluate it and really take a good look, things change. You'll begin to see what's important and what isn't. And you'll learn to use that mile seven and mile eight and all the other times that you've had failures to adjust to closer to what reality is and calibrate yourself to it. And then that'll make you the most joyful. So that's what I would say to all the listeners out there. Just know that you are loved. I was talking at a speech last night about mental health. And talking to the youth, the kids, and I have 10 nephews myself. Probably have some of my own one day, we'll see. But the main thing that you need to know is that you are loved, you're special, you're important. So if you don't get anything else from this podcast, take that message. Thank you for listening in to the Wake Up and Win podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. JC, did you guys enjoy yourself?
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome.
Awesome. All right, well, see you guys next time. Remember, wake up and win. Hey everybody, if you enjoyed the Wake Up and Win podcast that you heard today, Let your friends know about it. Make sure to share it. Find us on all major social media platforms and make sure to send us an email if you have a great story for Waking Up and Winning.